Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Talking about it, red light cameras. We've had 6 full months of red light cameras. We average 97 citations a day over that span of time. Ninth and Bayou is 31% of our citations, 5,557. Obviously, the biggest problem area going along with 14th and Gregory is Ninth and Gregory because it only has one approach. So, Ninth and Gregory has 34% of the total citations with only one approach. Ninth and Bayou has 31%, but it's got four. It's tracking people east, west, north, and south.
This still amazes me. And maybe I'm just not around the crazy people at Ninth and Gregory enough. But if you're coming from Gulf Breeze, you go on Three Mile Bridge, you continue on to Gregory, you're trying to figure out what speed you can get away with. I mean, you're totally obeying the law the whole entire time. Come on. Come on. It's 35 in Gulf Breeze, so you go 35 in Gulf Breeze. Maybe you push it, you go 39. Because, you know, in Florida, you can't get a ticket for 40, right? You know, 5 mile an hour grace period in Florida. But then you get to, get 3 Mile Bridge, and it's 45, and you go, I mean, what's 55? Pretty normal, right? Most people go 55. Then there's a couple people passing you at 70. But most people, I think most people drive under 55. Not under 50. Right on 3 Mile Bridge. And then you get off 3 Mile Bridge, you can come down, and, you know, it warns you, speed limit's going down to 35. And you get into your lane, wherever you're going to go. Typically, you move over to the right because you're going up 110. And then, you know, what are you going past McGuire's? Most people, 45, probably, pretty normal. 40, if you're really law-abiding. 35, if you're, you know, 104. Nobody does 35, right? I mean, just be honest. Nobody does 35. Okay, so, and then you're coming towards the light, and you're getting ready to go into the interstate. And the light turns red, and you say, bleep it. I don't care. I'm going. Well, yeah. Apparently, well, okay, there's about 100 tickets a day. It's like 90-something. I forget what he said. 90-something or so. Okay, 31% of the violations out of that 100 a day happen at that one light going west towards 110. So that means about 30 times a day, somebody just runs right through that red light. That's amazing to me. I don't want to be the person to kind of get why people run red lights, but I kind of get why people run them on Fairfield. You know, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying I can kind of see it. I can kind of see it at 9th and Bayou, especially because you got to wait 100 years for the light to turn around. I mean, you know, the light change at 9th and Gregory is, that's not even 30 seconds, I don't think. It's very quick. I mean, I deal with Davis and Creighton every day. And if you deal with, like, Olive and Davis, Johnson and Davis, you're like, I have no sympathy for you people who have to wait at 9th and Gregory because it's nothing. Those other intersections are awful. And awful by Pensacola standards. I know. I lived in Phoenix. I've lived in St. Louis. I've lived in Chicago. Not Chicago, in the suburbs. But, you know, I mean, particularly in Phoenix, I know what real traffic in a real city looks like. And, you know, we don't have real traffic most of the time. We have inconvenience traffic at peak times. I'm not saying if you get stuck in the car for an hour, it's okay. I'm just saying that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you expect to be able to go from your house to your work without interruption as if it's like right now, as if it's 5 a.m. And anything other than 5 a.m. clearance, and you're like, this traffic. I get it. I do the same thing. But all things considered, you know, it's not that bad most of the time. But you set expectations. So anyway, so you run these red lights, or people run these red lights because they don't see them? Because they're colorblind? They run them because they're impatient, and they don't want to wait, right? I guess. I've never been a red light runner. I understand the psychology of speeding. I don't understand the psychology of red light running because, to me, you know, running a red light is, I mean, hey, death, here we come, you know? So, But man, 30 times a day, people are running that one over and over and over again. That's amazing. All right, so they're apparently continuing the red light camera program. I know they're going to continue for a while. The real trick, again, is long-term, does it reduce actual crashes? Because as much as I've said already, I hate to also say, if people are running red lights and there's no crashes, it's not great. But the point of having the red light cameras is not merely to reduce the infractions or to identify the infractions. The point is to reduce collisions and officer time and damage to persons and property. And if we have the same number of crashes as we ever had, it, you know, having the red light cameras doesn't matter too much. At which point, why have them? Right, that's been the mayor's point all along, is we're trying this to reduce the crashes. If it doesn't actually reduce crashes, well, you know, what's the point of having it? Parking downtown.
Just quick parking pass update, on track to begin that new permit system, including a resident discount program. Those, the things I mentioned to you guys before, we are still on what we expect to do, which is a 50% discount for all city residents. They would have a proof of residency. And when they open the Park Mobile app, they will only be paying 50 cents an hour and no fee. So actually, in fact, for city residents, they will be paying less per hour than they were paying when paid parking originally started many, many years ago, because you were paying 50 cents an hour plus a fee. We would actually be eating that fee as well. So all city residents, this will be the lowest that paid parking has ever been once that's instituted. We're circling around October 1st.
Yeah, about October 1st, looks like they're going to start to have the resident pass, so you get cheap parking downtown since you're already paying city taxes. Non-residents, that'd be me, have to pay more because we don't pay city taxes. I don't love it, but then again, I find free parking. You know, I mean, but I get it. It makes sense. Why should the people who don't pay the taxes have to, you know, get the same exact benefit of parking at a rate that the people who do pay the taxes? I mean, that, though I hate paid parking, having to pay more because I'm not a city resident actually makes sense to me. So October 1st, it's going to happen. Remember, they doubled the rate, but if you half the rate, they're back to normal. And if you take away the transaction fee, you're, you know, cheaper than ever, which is makes sense to me. Meanwhile, you know, it's funny, the stories that have been big, of course, the story at the top of the hour David talked about with Santa Rosa Dad, the military guy and the Uber. We'll talk about that later in the show, not right now, because I have a lot to say. But the Black Lives Matter mural on A Street, this has been a back and forth. You know, the FDOT said, we don't like your mural. It's not safe. Also, we don't like it. But actually, it's not safe, but we don't like it. you know, right? Like after taking down the cross, the rainbow crosswalk at the Pulse nightclub, coming in the middle of the night and painting it black, you know, and then people painted it back the colors, and then they painted it back black again, and they put a cop there to protect the black paint. It's crazy to me, but okay, here we are. The letter sent to Pensacola was, hey, by the way, get rid of A Street. It's not safe. We're like, this is what you are spending your time on in the world? It's going to get repaved at some point. It was supposed to get repaved under Grover. It didn't. It, you know, I don't align with their values, but I think it's, I kind of like it, honestly. It's colorful. You can't really read it when you're driving over it. You drive over it and you're like, oh, look at the pretty colors. And then, you know, that's it. Big deal. Okay, so then they sent a letter to us and said, get rid of it or else we'll get rid of it and you'll have to pay us for getting rid of it. And the mayor sent back a letter that said, well, you get rid of it then. It's fine. We don't really have the resources. Plus, it connects to Cervantes, which means it's a state road, and we don't want to be responsible for shutting down a state road. Why don't you guys do it? No worries.
I think it was fine. We have a great relationship with FDOT, and we don't take that for granted. Obviously, not every government can say that, but you know, you work at it. And you know, my feeling is, I'm not going to speak for FDOT on their feeling, but I felt that we were very clear in that we understand compliance coming from federal and state, and but you know, an organization of that size to be able to move that nimbly and you know, that we would appreciate their help in being able to take that on. But again, it's not that we were trying to be adverse to their mandate or to the state's mandate. We just, you know, we've got, there's too many variables around this, and, you know, we've got lots of potholes and sidewalks and everything that are, you know, critical levels that that are on our list right now. So I think the tipping point is given the date of completion. This wasn't a generic request. It's a mandate and it needs to be done this quickly. So I think they understood from that perspective that puts a little burden on a city our size in terms of our manpower. And so we appreciate them understanding our situation and hopefully that's the way we'll go.
Yeah, we got potholes to fill and we got other parts of the city to take care of. Why don't you come take care of this and just send me the bill? It'll be fine. Now, somebody texts in. It's actually a good point. It says, look, under Grover, they shut the street down enough to paint it and then painted it. Why is it the city can shut it down and paint it but can't shut it down to fix it? Well, A, different mayors. Well, you know, different mayors. B, the city didn't paint it. The city allowed individuals to paint, right? The city didn't go out and paint the Black Lives Matter mural. The city would have to go over and sandblast, repaint. I don't know what the treatment would be. I'm sure it's, you know, it's probably not an hour job, but it's probably not a 3-day job either. I would figure it's a day job, but I don't know. I don't build roads for a living. So I think it's that, but also it's just a matter of resources. Like he says, hey, you know, look, you guys can take care of it. No big deal.
You know, I guess my thought is the same thoughts I have.
Oh, sorry. Here you go. This is a different one.
So obviously it's at A Street, which is a city road, but it's where this physically is in close proximity to Cervantes Street. So if you were to be going west on Cervantes and you take a left on A, that's where this mandate is coming in at. And so for that work to be done, the road has to be closed, which means there's going to be road closures happening at least in a left-hand turn lane going off Cervantes, which is a road we don't control. So so again, when you put all of it together, how quick can a city of 55,000 have the manpower to go take something on and have it done in a matter of days? In addition, the complexity of a state road and its proximity that we don't control, we can't close down the same way that we can close a city road. It just seemed to make a lot more viable sense that if this is a date that is being mandated by the state, that we, in collaboration with FDOT, would ask for their support and their help to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, simple. John, do you think the people in the neighborhood are going to paint their driveways?
I think they are. And I think if it gets painted black, they're going to repaint over it.
I think some
this
people... It's going to be another paint war.
Right.
We're going to have FHP stationed all around the state. Protecting the black pavement. Ironically, protecting the black pavement.
So here's my question. The mayor said FDOT needs to do it.
Right.
FDOT has clearly said the city needs to do it.
Well, the city said that the city needs to do it, and if you don't do it, we'll do it and bill you. They did say that in the letter. That was specifically laid out as an if-then.
So if FDOT does it, they're still going to bill the city.
Oh, yeah.
So wouldn't it be cheaper for the city to do it?
Well, you might think that. Right. I'll ask the mayor. I'm sure in his mind what he's thinking is, I'm guessing based on what he's said,
that they'll cover it.
Well, it not that so much as, like you said, the date. I mean, it was September 4th, so you got a week. Well, everybody's working, and there's a schedule. And it rains once in a while. I mean, it's not really scheduled to rain soon, but you never know. And so getting it done, being able to commit to getting it done in the next week in order to miss the deadline is ambitious, I'm guessing. And maybe not. I don't build roads for a living. I don't repaint roads for a living. The graffiti bridge people seem to do it quickly, but that's different because it's got to be to the standards. So getting it done in a week is probably a challenge. And he's thinking, well, look, we probably can't get it done in the week. If they're serious about getting it done that quickly, they can just do it and bill us. And what's the difference in price going to be? Again, I have no idea what it costs.
I would just think the state would charge more.
I would, too. I mean, we have our resources, and we're, right. You know, it costs us wholesale. They're going to charge us retail or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But, well, you know, what's the real price? I mean, how much does it cost to repaint a road of that stretch? $60, $70. No, I mean,
it's
you got to guess.
It's a good question for the mayor.
What, $10,000, yeah. $20,000?
Right.
And if I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't think it's into the $100,000, but maybe it is. Again, I really don't know. But you know, what's FDOT going to charge us? 70 or 80, 200, 300 million?
We just don't know.
Yeah. Right. So we'll see. By the way, somebody says, Andrew, you're a little too optimistic on Three Mile Bridge. he says, I drive through mile bridge every single day. Most people do 65 to 70. I do 50 to 55 and get past like I'm standing still.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I believe it.
No, it's true. I did it the other day.
I don't drive it at peak times. I drive it at off-peak times because, you know, I'm here in the morning and I'm not out driving at 5:30. My experience based on off-peak driving is if you go 55 in the right-hand lane, you'll be okay. If you try to go 60 in the left-hand lane, you're probably going to die.
I totally agree.
Unless there's visible lights.
Right.
You know, cops out there.
Blue.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Not the blue of the semi-functional side lights, but the, you know, yeah, right. Yeah. Last little update to the story. Gulf Breeze got a letter to take the green out of their raised crosswalks on Shoreline and Fairpoint. Which is funny because, as Sam Abel, the city manager, writes back to FDOT, but you know green's an approved color in your own manual, right? And the green is actually an industry standard for increasing visibility and safety, right? And, you know, and they're not having to take out the crosswalks themselves, the raised crosswalks, that's all. You know, man, I don't know if FDOT's fully engaged on all the details of what this entails. I'm guessing somebody from the DeSantis administration called him and said, you get rid of all those crosswalks. And then for consistency's sake, they said, oh, Gulf Breeze? Oh, yeah, we coming for you too. And Gulf Breeze is like, but sir, allow me to point you to your own codes that you say were in violation of. Oh, I love Sam Abel. 525
she's awesome.
Yeah, she's the best. 525 on News Radio 92.3. And I mean, you know how there's some people that you know you just don't want to get into a fact argument with?
Correct.
Andrew. And she's a redhead.
Oh.
And as somebody who's married to a redhead and was raised by a redhead. You know, like, not to draw broad sweeping generalizations, but here goes. If it were I,
right,
I wouldn't get into a fight with a redheaded woman. Never works out well.
I'm learning from you.
Yeah,
so.
526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, like, don't lay your lifestyle judgments on me, man.
Oh, man, I love Billy Idol before he was Billy Idol, when he was Generation X. Kind of cool, you know, good music, a little bit raw. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. FEMA is suspending over a dozen employees after they signed an open letter criticizing the Trump administration's leadership. Roughly 180 current and former FEMA staffers said that inexperience at the top could lead to a major disaster. By Tuesday night, multiple employees were placed on administrative leave. That, according to the Washington Post, a FEMA spokesperson dismissed the critics as bureaucrats who presided over decades of inefficiency. The Justice Department wants the U.S. Supreme Court to let the Trump administration withhold billions of dollars in foreign aid. Tuesday, the DOJ filed an emergency appeal requesting the court pause a federal judge's order that would force the Trump administration to continue making those payments. And lawyers for Kilmar Abrego Garcia filing an emergency motion to reopen his asylum case after he was rearrested earlier this week. This time, he's threatened with deportation to Uganda. Garcia was living in Maryland when he was first deported to El Salvador in March, returned to the U.S., released Friday, but then taken back into custody just days later.
You didn't mention the big story of the day.
Well, not yet. Do tell, sir. Do tell.
Well, Travis Kelce and what's her name got engaged.
Yeah, I guess that is the top headline everywhere.
That and the Cracker Barrel reversal. You know, they're keeping Uncle Herschel and the chair in the barrel. You know? So, you know, everything's good. It's funny because when I first saw the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift thing, my first thought was I'm going to make one of those marked safe from caring. And then I'm like, no, I do care about this. I care about having a culture in which we celebrate marriage and we celebrate people who commit to doing God's institution, God's sacrament, and you know, if they actually get married and if it works out for them, fantastic. I certainly hope it does. That's a good thing to have a culture that celebrates that.
Fox News, I'm Angelo Bavaro. President Trump suggesting his administration will bring back the death penalty for certain crimes in the nation's capital during a three-hour-long cabinet meeting Tuesday.
The president's comments coming amid his administration's efforts to reduce crime in D.C., one that's already seen over 1,000 arrests since August the 7th.
Fox's Kevin Cork. Some FEMA employees have been put on administrative leave after signing an open letter criticizing cuts to staff and programs. More than 180 current and former employees signed that letter sent to the FEMA Review Council in Congress. President Trump's 50% tariffs on India are now in effect. 25% of that was imposed because of the country's purchases of Russian oil. India is a major exporter of goods to the U.S. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, it's 72 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola this morning. Of course, we've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. We'll have that in just a few minutes. Well, the city of Pensacola responding yesterday to FDOT's deadline to remove the BLM mural on North A Street. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city does want to comply with the deadline, but they just don't have the manpower to get it done. So they're asking FDOT to do the work.
For that work to be done, the road has to be closed, which means there's going to be road closures happening, at least in the left-hand turn lane going off Cervantes, which is a road we don't control. So again, when you put all of it together, how quick can a city of 55,000 have the manpower to go take something on and have it done in a matter of days? In addition, the complexity of a state road and its proximity that we don't control, we can't close down the same way that we can close a city road.
And that from Mayor Reeves' press conference yesterday morning. He said the official response from the city back to FDOT was sent out yesterday. Well, Santa Rosa County commissioners heard from leadership at Hurlburt Field this week. Commander Colonel Patrick Deerig gave the commissioners a state of the base report where he said one of the biggest issues affecting that base is traffic congestion on Highway 98. He says that's not even just a convenience issue, but a military readiness issue.
For Hurlburt Field, where our alert mission is measured in hours, we have had some cases where if something bad would have happened in the world during a particular event, I would have called General Conley and said, sir, the mission has failed because of a traffic jam. And I never want to call General Conley and say, sir, We couldn't go eliminate the target, or we couldn't save the good person, or we couldn't launch on time because of the traffic jam on Highway 98.
Derek discussed a few past incidents where traffic issues have hindered deployment capabilities. Also, he discussed the need for affordable housing and child care for military families. Governor Ron DeSantis questioning the need for H-1B visas. He told Fox News last night that the visa program is a total scam. The governor said the program is used by companies who lay off American workers and want to suppress wages. He compared the program to indentured servitude. Well, Rick Scott wants to see how California spends its FEMA money. Senator Scott announced yesterday that he sent a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. In that letter, Scott is requesting transparency on funding allocated to California over the past decade. He says while California has received ample federal funds for wildfire management, repression, and response, the money didn't appear to have been used wisely or appropriately. It's 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures slightly below average, topping out around 87 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Rain chances build back into the forecast on Friday, 30% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 72 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Milton, 74. Four reported in Gulf Breeze. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Elon Musk's SpaceX has pulled off the launch of the latest Starship prototype in the rocket's 10th test flight. Yesterday's performance marks a comeback for Starship after a string of explosive launch attempts earlier this year. Starship is critical for both NASA's plans to return astronauts to the moon and Musk's ambitions to transport crew to Mars. OpenAI said it will make changes to ChatGPT to better deal with sensitive situations, including for users who express suicidal intent. This news comes after the parents of Adam Rain filed a product liability and wrongful death suit against OpenAI after their son died by suicide at the age of 16. A court filing shows that lawyers for Elon Musk have asked a judge to block ChatGPT owner OpenAI from obtaining documents from Meta platforms related to its previous $97.4 billion bid for OpenAI's assets. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 135. That's Your Money Now.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers. Guaranteed returns. Over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
That we would direct Michael Rose to make sure that the league, that this year that we're not having night games. We've had a killing, a shooting, all those things in these parks. And we have spent, you know, to the tune of every year, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 when they said we're not helping, that we pay for security, that they don't do in the city of Pensacola, that they don't do anywhere, that this board has paid Sheriff Simmons to provide for security. Quite frankly, a league split because people didn't want to come to Bellevue, and people were killed and people were shot. And so, I mean, we can't prevent everything. I mean, you go to a high school game, you can't walk from one side to another one. We have security issues, police issues. I mean, cops, police officers are charging sometimes $40 an hour, but depends on where they're going. They'll charge $70 an hour. You know, if they go to a safe place, it's $40. If they feel like it's an unsafe park, they'll charge $70. I know because I'm engaged, and so it's hard to sustain when you're having to pay $70 an hour to have a kid safe.
So Commissioner Lumen May at the most recent Escambia County Commission meeting talking about sports safety cost and the sheriff's office, since we have the sheriff here with us in studio. Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir, I just wanted to give you a chance to, I don't know, respond, clarify, address, however you want. You hadn't heard the clip before, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it since he's talking about your agency.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure there's anything really to explain. It's always been the case where police officers or sheriff's deputies, that they, under off-duty, they can work for, I guess a bar or a complex or something like that, and it's off duty. And then, or they can work, like you see the highway patrol and some state officers are working roadways. You know, they do that on their off duty, because quite frankly, we don't have the manpower to man every ballpark or every, every establishment that wants extra security. So if you want extra security, you can hire a deputy.
You do have the manpower. You don't have the budget to pay them.
Because
ones doing the work, you literally have the – but you have to pay them overtime. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm thinking there's so many ball games going on.
Right.
Throughout the county, especially the youth league ball games, baseball games, basketball games. We do not have the manpower to staff
to do
every
all of it,
single
right.
one of those, plus answer the calls for service. So, what we do is we allow our deputies to work off duty, and that supplements, obviously, the patrol. So, we don't have – if there's a call for service at a ballpark, say – then our deputy that's answering 911 calls in the county, they don't have to break and go to that call. It helps everyone, really. And it's always been the case where we don't force a deputy to work off duty. So you have to make it worth their while. You have to pay them a certain amount of money. And that's been the case for 50 years or so.
Rates aren't set by you guys. Those rates
are set
by the marketplace.
Us. Well, yeah, what the market bears. But
okay.
Yes, they are.
But the deputy,
the minimum,
opt in or not? Like they say yes or no, and if everybody's saying no to an event, then you might have to raise the pay for that or whatever.
Yeah, at the sheriff's office, we have it's people that work in off duty, and then they'll put out this job that's available, and anyone wants it, they can get it. Sometimes that the job, they look at the job and they decide they don't want it. Mm. It's difficult. It requires two or three deputies, whatever it takes. I say difficult. It's busier. It's a busier job. And then so they have to raise the rate to entice someone to work it. But again, that's the way it is on holidays. That's the way it is on New Year's Eve. That's the way it has always been.
Is his assessment of the Bellevue and the dangers, particularly in that location at those games, is – you know, I know we still don't play night games anymore, right? We've gone to all day games now because of some of these problems. But is that a problem? A unique problem?
Well, I don't know if it's a unique problem. I think that anytime you have people that gather for sporting events or any event, then you're going to need. I would suggest you have extra security. You consider security. It depends on the nature of the game, or you just have inviting anyone to come to the game. I heard that on that clip that you spoke about. You know, there are people getting killed. Technically, there was one person killed a couple of years ago, but it is something that we pay attention to. This past Saturday, we had our portable cameras at Bellevue, I believe, at Brent. So we had them at two locations. We do place our preventative trailers. Yeah,
Got it.
The mobile camera platforms that we have. So we have placed them at locations, and we work with the Parks and Recreation, Escambia County, and determine what their schedule looks like and when certain games are. I know as I used to be the park president for Inslee football, and so we knew that the mini mites or the mites, the 5-year-olds to the 10, 12-year-olds, probably not going to be that big a crowd. But we also knew that the night game, which is the junior level game, the 13, 14-year-olds at the time, and I'm sure it's about the same, just before you get to high school. Those games are like Friday night football games. They're very well attended, and unfortunately some people get there and they drink all day and they cause a problem. And we knew that, so we hired additional security just to make sure everyone's safe. And that's the life that we live right now, whether it's at the mall, whether it's at a movie theater, no matter where it is. I think we have to consider safety of the people that are attending.
We had a couple of, I think, pretty horrid stories. One involved a guy who, I guess, a home invasion against a 79-year-old woman and a sexual assault involved in all of this. And I sometimes hate to talk about these. I mean, I always hate to talk about these things, but they are things that happen in our community, right?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to our deputies that doggedly worked and investigated this particular case. We don't like to talk about these things, but the crime was committed, and this piece of crap that did it, he is in jail right now, and hopefully never gets out of jail. There was the event took place, and then later on, this guy went to a grocery store and ended up stealing something, and the deputy responded, immediately recognized the individual from the description of the sexual battery, and put two and two together, and then they tied up some loose ends and ended up charging this individual with that crime.
So good police work, which is we always appreciate. I hate it when women, old people, and kids. These are the stories that just frustrate me to no end. But you had in Cantonment, you had a couple arrested for child neglect.
Yeah, we went there because we were helping. I think it was they have warrants on them from somewhere in Alabama. And so we went to this house, and when we went to the house, we observed just some deplorable conditions that children are living in. I think it was described as disarray and filthy diapers, invisible urine and feces scattered on the floor. It looked like there was if I recall correctly, there was a bathtub. It looked like it had not been used in a while, indicating that the children likely had not been bathed in a while. Mm. There was discarded food containers strewn about. There was evidence of not just evidence, but roaches and flies, insects, and large flies in different rooms. As much as we don't want to talk about it, as much as we hate to think that children are living in these types of conditions, there's something reassuring that these guys went to jail.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of them on various social media platforms. And I invite you to take a look at what child abuse looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, they will have their day in court. They're all innocent until proven guilty. But I have the unique perspective of many times talking to the deputies that have to endure this. Sometimes I see the body cameras, the footage, reluctantly so in many cases.
Yeah.
But I see what I see. And again, they will have their day in court, but that doesn't mean I can't give my opinion on the type of person it takes to treat children like this.
And if you arrest one, they're not the only ones. And you had another case not that long ago. There's going to be more of these. To me, it's a reminder that the foster care system needs foster parents. We need people to adopt. We need, you know, if there aren't people to take in troubled kids, and these are going to be troubled kids, I mean, you know, that what are other alternative is there? So, you know, that whole system needs help too.
Volunteers, right. There's lots a lot of going on here. I mean, thank God for schools, so the kids can potentially get out of that environment. Many times they can get a warm meal, and they can socialize with other kids, and hopefully they can grow up and not repeat this cycle.
It's so hard to, if you grew up in an even halfway normal family, you know, it's so hard to think about what some kids experience and, you know, what they need and be considerate and gracious and pray for. I mean, all the things, you know, just to be available, and to think about the social services that really do help. You know, we think sometimes about the excesses of some busybody neighbor who intrudes on somebody who's not really doing anything wrong. But sometimes the busybody neighbor calls because there's a child neglect case going on.
Absolutely.
And saves the kids from a horrible situation.
Yeah. I don't think that we thank Child Protective Services enough. Agreed. I know there's a lot of criticism throughout the country on why didn't they notice this? Why didn't they notice that? There are a lot of cases that we get called by Child Protective Services. We get called to a house and then we find out there's already a case on them, and they have a background, and they have removed children or they're about to remove children. They do, in my opinion, they do all that they can.
With their scarce resources and scarce personnel.
We need to continue to fund them as well, because we're talking about children.
You and I had talked previously about the Glock switch, which is a little piece of device that turns it's specifically designed for the Glock gun, handgun, that turns a semi-automatic into a fully automatic pistol. And I had asked you at the time, are these prevalent in Escambia County? And there's now a case that's come back that we had, I think, talked about before. These guys who were dealing in the Glock switches here locally, it's become a federal case, but it's about a year-old case. Have we seen very many of these things in the intervening time?
This is the only one I'm aware of. Okay. I say the only one. This is one of very, very few that I'm aware of. We have done a couple search warrants, and whenever we find a gun that has the switch in it that makes it a machine gun, basically, that they come to me and tell me, because they know that I'm interested in that sort of thing, because I want to know if we're seeing this sort of thing. But the case you're talking about, we arrested two people initially, and now they're going to, I guess, we're going to federal prison, I think, for 3 years, 4 years, something like that. But they were actually dealing in. They had multiple Glocks with that switch in it, and they were dealing back and forth, and I'm assuming with other people too. We just didn't catch all of them. But fortunately, it's rare to see that around here. But I will tell you that we mentioned this before, that we are working very well with ATF and with DEA and with ICE, and we're working very well with our federal partners. And I have to include the U.S. Attorney's Office, because they're really stepping up with their prosecution. I will tell you, in the past, they haven't accepted, or what they call adopt, they haven't adopted as many cases as they are now. So there seems to be a good working relationship with the U.S. Attorney's Office, not just with the local law enforcement, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, which obviously is a big player in that, but also with their interaction with the State Attorney's Office, and they're determining whether they take it to a state court or they take it to a federal court, what's the best, for the community.
Venue for the prosecution, right. I had wanted to ask you, we were talking earlier this hour, I was talking about the raw recruiting potential, the 18 to 22 year olds that we're manufacturing as a society. And I have concerns because they are the key to the sailors and the soldiers and the airmen. They're going to fight any potential war and discourage war. The new CNO was talking about how the sailors are the key resource. I know. And when I said that to you off the air, you said, yep, that's the same way. My deputies are my key resource, right? It's not the gun. It's not the Tahoe. It's not the technology. It's the deputy. But my concern is, and look, I know everybody thinks that their kids are messed up. You know, the next generation's always the next generation. But what are you seeing? You're on the front lines. You're seeing new recruits. Are you seeing as many capable as when you were coming up, less capable, more capable? What's your – are they – do you need to train them how to be people, or are they coming to you prepared to be law enforcement officers?
So I'm an eternal optimist, right? I want to – if it's not great, let's make it great.
Yeah.
If it's good, let's make it a little bit better. So I can tell you that we do the Blazer Academy, and we interact with many, many 13, 14-year-old boys and girls. And I can tell you that the future is still bright, that we're not doomed. I can tell you, though, that in today's society, where everyone's looking at a phone and they're communicating through text, they're not talking to each other, law enforcement is still a people business. You still have to get out. You still have to talk to someone. You still have to be able to de-escalate a situation. So there is that. I mean, we understand that. But I can tell you that because we have our own academy, I can see them every day, every week. When we didn't have our academy, we didn't see them until they got out. They already been trained for almost a year. In our situation, we can see that I can drive by the office and I can see them running up the hill over there right next to the Boys and Girls Club, right next to our office. And I shake my head, glad I'm not the one to have it run up that hill in the heat. But I know that they're working hard. I think that the fact that they're putting themselves through this show that they have a desire to be a law enforcement officer, and specifically with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. So if you're listening, the quality of recruit that we're getting at the Sheriff's Office, I would say, is second to none. We can tell by the scores on the state exams that they were still the highest in the state of Florida. And I can tell you that the individuals that come to work for us, the 18 cadet,
yeah, yeah.
cadet age, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and certainly the 21 and up age group that we are putting out there on the street is as good as it's ever been. They're as qualified, as well-trained, efficient, and we're as capable as we have ever been right here in Escambia County.
Last question for you, Sheriff. Grady Judd, your favorite sheriff in Florida, the showiest sheriff in Florida.
He's a friend of mine.
He's a friend. He showed up at a drug seizure press conference wearing the drip, as he called it, the gold chains and watches.
Do they still call it drip? I don't know, I guess.
Grady Judd called it drip. That makes me think probably nobody else does anymore. But, he said, we got your drip. Should we expect to see Sheriff Simmons showing up in the drug dealer's gold chains and Rolex and shirt and sports car in a future press conference?
We all have our style, and I'm probably not. I'm not going to guarantee it though. If we seize and it's a bona fide bad guy, it's someone that I know the proceeds are from them. We seize cars a lot. We have a Corvette that's all wrapped up in sheriff's office green because we seized it from a felon. So I'm not going to make any guarantees. I'll keep people guessing what I'm going to show up at a press conference wearing.
That's funny. You know what it makes me think is you should have put a sign on the side of the vet that says this used to belong to a drug dealer.
Yeah, I didn't want to mess up the aesthetic there. I mean, really, we talked about that in the past.
Put some spinners on there, lift it.
Charlie Johnson had an old Corvette that he put stickers on it. Yeah. My assumption is that people knew. Or people know that I'm not going to buy a Corvette put out there. Tahoes are still.
So you think people are very well informed?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Every time we go out in the public and would they see the Corvette? It's not the latest version of the Corvette.
Older. It's like two versions older.
Two down.
I think.
Yeah, it's still a good looking car.
It is.
And when they come up to me, they fully aware that it's a seized car.
Good.
They just want to know what was seized from and for and what we're going to wrap it next and all. It just. A conversation piece, mainly.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for showing up. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Since we got you thinking about cars, like
that was
Chevy
good.
Corvettes and Tahoes and all that. If you are in the market for either a sports car or an SUV, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used vehicles, and you can go there and look around and test drive as many things as you like. That's kind of their idea is that we're going to have everything right here in one place. 300 cars and trucks, gently used, 1 to 3 or 4 years young, 10 to 30 or 40, maybe 50,000 miles. We're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. And you can try as many as you like. And if you find exactly what you want, hey, it'll be a good price. You can buy it. If they don't have exactly what you want, you're willing to, pay more or you'd like to pay less for something with higher miles or it's a little bit older, they can go looking. They go looking for people all the time. The key is good quality cars, making it really easy, no pressure. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused, visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Join the Red Flamingo Foundation Thursday night from 6 till 10 at Hub Stacy's downtown for live music, great food, and community as they raise awareness for mental health. Saturday morning from 8:30 to 10, join the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Conservation Center for Shark School. Learn about the vital role in keeping our Gulf healthy. For info and to pre-purchase $15 tickets, see NavarreBeachSeaTurtles.org. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out. Simple. News Radio 92.3.
Are you, Alice, menstruating right now?
What has that got to do with it?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I know it's not the most quotable line from Ghostbusters, but my favorite line from Ghostbusters has always been, "Shh, you smell something?"
Yeah, that's
I don't
yeah,
know
that's
why,
good.
But that's always been my favorite line. So she's a dog. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
The Justice Department wants the Supreme Court to let the Trump administration withhold billions of dollars in foreign aid. Yesterday, the DOJ filed an emergency appeal requesting the court pause a federal judge's order that would force the Trump administration to continue making payments. A California couple is suing OpenAI, accusing ChatGPT of helping their teenage son commit suicide. A lawsuit filed on Tuesday claims the chatbot helped 16-year-old Adam Rain to explore suicide methods and helped him write his suicide note. The lawsuit names OpenAI and CEO Sam Altman as defendants.
The only part of this I really kind of, that concerns me is it's such an extreme example, and it might make people think, well, that didn't happen with my child, therefore, you know, AI is not hurting my child at all. There are so many softer versions of harm.
You're listening.